Here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Meanwhile,
how you doing?
All right, let's do it.
Go.
You said go before record.
Go.
All right.
Goes.
Welcome to Mike and I's Flicks of the Week.
Mike and I's. Welcome to me, Flicks of the Week.
Yes. This week, Mike and I.
Mike and I's
picks or Flicks of the Week are going to be the Netflix original show, The Ranch. And Mike, yours is going to be?
God damn, I want you to say it.
Because you're a part of this.
I know, but you don't have to worry about, don't worry about involving me. You can just do the intro without.
I don't even remember what the fuck yours was.
Stand Against Evil.
I thought it was going to be a movie.
It wasn't.
You just saw a movie and you said it was
going to be I was going to have it be Corsican Brothers, but I didn't watch it.
No, there was another movie you saw.
Yeah, I watched
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. That's what it was going to be.
No, it wasn't. No, that's not what I said it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
What I said to you was, I saw Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and it was a pretty good fucking movie. And you're like, really? I said, yes.
And you said, you know what? That'll be my pick of the week.
No, that's not what I said. I said, I know what my pick of the week is going to be.
Well, then there was some other fucking movie.
I watched so many goddamn movies. I watched 976 Evil. I watched Halloween.
Did you watch Go?
No.
Did you watch the director's cut of Batman v Superman?
No.
Did you watch The Goods?
No.
Did you?
No. No.
I got a whole lot of...
No. In this bag right here.
All right. So... Okay, so you're going to do Stand Against Evil.
I have to talk about this movie. Although we are going to do the show parenthesis whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing Superstore right now.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about Stand Against Evil, the first episode.
Yeah.
Because, God damn it, I love John C. McGinley.
He is awesome, dude. I've been a fan for years. So, all right. And then I only got one movie trailer I wanted to talk about for a quick moment. That was it. So,
I don't give a fuck.
There wasn't much movie news unless you want to talk about what Tim Miller is going to be moving on to or... Johnny Depp being in the new Fantastic Beasts sequel or whatever the fuck it is. So all that and more on Flicks of the Week.
Why every time I look
up... Why does he have Matthew McConaughey hair?
I don't know.
He's got Matthew McConaughey hair.
That was from Scrubs and then he shaved his head. Why is it every time you do a search on somebody, it doesn't matter who it is, it always comes up with the name of the person you're researching and then net worth. Who gives a flying fuck?
The only thing I could think is because that's a lot of people look that up.
Who cares?
I agree. Who gives a shit? But people, there's a lot of people. He's got Down syndrome?
No, he has a son that has Down syndrome.
I'm just fucking with you. Eh, okay. So he's
He was in Wall Street. He was also in Platoon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's been acting for a very long time.
The Bobs.
I am a Michael Bolton fan. All right. So, now you got your John C. McGinley shit up there. All right. My pick of the week is the Netflix original series called The Ranch. It's on for the first two seasons, which is weird because it shouldn't be called the first two seasons. Actually, it's the first season. They did this thing that they hadn't done on Netflix yet, which is where it's 20 episodes for the first season, but they split it into 10. So, in April of earlier this year, they had part one come out, and then part two came out in, I think, October. Or September, I don't remember. Anyway, so 20 episodes for the first season. This show is a bit of a toss-up, okay? The first thing that threw me off is that it has a laugh track. And I'm not used to comedies on Netflix having a laugh track. That threw me off big time. This is a sitcom that's set in Colorado on, of course, a ranch that is owned by Sam Elliott. And his son, Danny Masterson, lives with him. Anyone who knows Danny Masterson knows that he was on the 70s show. He played Hyde. So anyway, the show starts, the series starts with Ashton Kutcher's character, who's his other son, who went off to play professional football and he failed. He comes back home and then he tries to reintegrate himself back into the family life and all that stuff. And they also have a mother who's Sam Elliott's wife, but they're separated and she owns a bar. It's the only bar in town in this, you know, small town called Garrison in Colorado. And this is what's funny about the show is that most of the jokes are lame sitcom jokes. That, you know, like they're not as bad as like Superstore or anything like that,
right?
But they're nothing special. And It's one of those shows that you would just see dragging along for too many seasons, right? But at the same time, every single episode has at least two or three jokes that are really funny, that make you laugh out loud. And then also, there's also a camaraderie between the three main characters of Sam Elliott, Danny Masterson, and Ashton Kutcher, or I like to call him Ashy Coochie. And it works. Their dynamic works. And that's what keeps the show going and interesting, is that even though the jokes are fucking most of the time lame, everything else makes up for it. You know, I mean, this show's even got, it's even got the cliched Norm character at the bar. You know, this old guy who's there every day. And every time someone says something funny, he has like a one word comment or something, you know, and everyone laughs, the laugh track kicks in, and it's fucking lame and stupid. Like, I say one out of every 20 things that this guy says is funny, and that's it. But everything else that goes along with it is, it keeps the show interesting, you know. And then there's characters that have shown up from other TV series, actors like John Cryer from Two and a Half Men, which, you know, he was with him, Ashton Kutcher, for a little while. He shows up in an episode. Wilmer Valderrama, who played Fez from the 70s show, he shows up. Anyway, it is an interesting show, and Sam Elliott he plays a great character. He's funny. He's deadpan. He has smart-ass remarks about, you know, technology and Obama and shit like that. You know, it's very right-wing based, you know, funny. And they're not made to look like ignorant, you know, right-wing rednecks. You know, it's just pretty much their way of life kind of thing. So anyway, The Ranch is an interesting show. If you like those actors, you should check it out. The Ranch.
Excellent. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to give away too much. I mean, just check it out, man. Each episode's only like 25 minutes to a half an hour, so.
Okay.
Season 2 will be coming next year.
Okay. Fucking great.
So, Stand Against Evil.
I made Joe watch Stand Against Evil.
You didn't make me.
Yes, I did.
I was a willing participant.
No, sort of. I've been a fan of John C. McGinley since I saw him in Scrubs. He plays Dr. Perry Cox. And then I started noticing that he does like other voices. I didn't realize that he did voiceovers and stuff like that, like in Justice League or Kim Possible.
The Boondocks.
Yeah, The Boondocks. He was also in Scrubs Intern for one season. He was in Burn Notice. And then he did Ground Floor. And I'm like, okay, I got to watch it because fucking McGinley's in it.
Yeah.
And I watched like two episodes of that.
Wasn't it a bad sitcom?
Yes.
And he was the boss.
Fucking awful.
Yeah.
But McGinley was great in it.
Yeah, of course.
As it goes, I have been waiting. When I saw that this TV show was coming out after Ash versus Evil Dead,
yeah,
I had to fucking watch it. The trailers, it's created by Dana Gould. Dana Gould did a lot of stuff for The Simpsons. Hold on a second. I will open up Dana Gould stuff. He's a comedian. If you have never seen him, he's from Massachusetts, like a lot of comedians are.
Uh-huh.
And he started off, I guess, on The Ben Stiller Show.
Well, you got to have a sense of humor if you come from Massachusetts.
Yeah, apparently. Let me get his fucking... Yeah, so he wrote Homer the Mo, Papa's Got a Brand New Badge,
Goo Goo Guy Pan,
CEO, The President Wore Pearls, Goo Goo Guy Pan, Bart Has Two Mommies, I Don't Want to Know Why the Cage Bird Sings. He also did a couple of Family Guy episodes, and that's Dana Gould. He created this... Huh, he appeared in live action on the Family Guy episode, Brian Writes a Bestseller. Nice. Dana Gould is a funny motherfucker. And if you've never heard him talk, you know, never heard him do his stand-up, like, I've liked Dana Gould since he's done stand-up.
Okay.
And then he went on to do film and TV. That's not the point I'm trying to make.
He's been performing for 3.5 decades.
Yeah. Joe said it succinctly when he said, this TV show reminds me of like Ash versus Evil Dead meets The Frighteners.
Yeah.
Kind of. And I can go along with that. McGinley plays a sheriff in this town called Willard Hills. Willard Hills or Millard Hills? Hold on. Now I've got to find it.
Just click on the first episode.
Yeah, okay.
The fuck?
Yeah, okay. Shut up. Here we go. It's a small New England town who was forced into retirement. So, let me just get to it. John C. McGinley plays the sheriff. Janet Varney plays the new sheriff. She plays Eve. And basically, what's going on is Stan Miller is he plays Dr. Perry Cox. That's who he is.
Uh-huh.
He was forced into retirement Okay, let me start all over here because I'm being Joe when it comes to the movie review. It starts off with a funeral, and the funeral is Stan's wife.
Yeah.
She dies. We don't know how she dies.
The Frighteners also starts off with a funeral.
And that's wonderful. So McGinley is standing, sitting there, and the priest is doing his priestly things, and he looks over and sees this old lady who is smiling at him and chuckling at him, and he basically says, "Are you starting to shit? You know? You want to start some shit?"
Yeah.
And he stands up, and fucking the priest is like, "We don't need any." He's like, "Ah, scram," you know? Or cram it is what he says. Cram it!
Yeah.
And fucking the old lady, who happens to be a witch, is mocking him. So he puts her in a headlock and beats the shit out of her, right?
Yeah.
And he's forced into retirement. So 3 days goes by, and the new sheriff is Evie Barnett, who's played by Varney. And as she walks into this office, we hear McGinley in the background somewhere, and apparently he's taking a shower. So he comes out, he's just wrapped in a towel, you know, and she's like, "Have you been home?" He's like, "No, I haven't been home in 3 days. She's like, "Just go home, you know, things will be okay."
Yeah.
So he thinks, right? So he goes home, he finds his daughter sitting upstairs. He hears something. He finds his daughter sitting upstairs, and it scares the shit out of him, you know. And his daughter, I don't know who that's played by, but his daughter is kind of like a goofy, doesn't take life too seriously, it seems. Here it is. Just look at the cast. But I can't. You know, the IFC website is pretty cool, but pretty useless.
Just go to IMDb, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Nate Mooney plays the deputy.
That deputy's an asshole.
Deputy Leon Drinkwater. Deborah Baker Jr. plays Denise. That's his daughter. McGinley plays Stan Miller. Janet Varney plays Evie Barrett, who's the new sheriff. Mike Ignis plays Stella Stannis. Or Mick Ignis plays Stella Stannis. That's a dude playing a chick. That's a dude playing another dude who's dressed as a chick.
Must be very skinny.
Yeah. Well, anyways, the whole point of this fucking TV show is basically just like Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back in the 1600s, the constable of this town killed a bunch of witches. So when Evie Barrett comes in, the deputy comes in and starts telling the story. You know, how many witches were killed at the Salem witch trials? 20. Yeah, well, our constable killed 172 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're coming back to wreak vengeance. And the whole point is the sheriffs all seem to die a violent, gruesome death.
Yeah. Okay?
And for some reason, Stan hasn't. And then we find out that Stan's wife has been protecting him for this whole entire time. She is this witch hunter. And when he has to go into her sewing room, as it were, which she kept locked. He never went in there.
Yeah.
He goes into her sewing room to get some insurance papers because of her death, and finds out, you know, there's an entire wall filled with fucking, you know, exotic weapons and shields and all this other shit.
Yeah.
And there's a book, a gigantic wood-bound book that is... it's got some hieroglyphics in it. And the only way to read them is with this special pendant. And
Gravity Falls.
Yeah. And he has to dig up his wife to get the pendant.
Yeah.
And this witch, that we learned about in the first episode, is trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And she wants this pendant as well. And she uses the new sheriff's daughter to try to get this pendant. And McGinley just plays himself. At one point, the witch scares him off. Like, the witch pops up out of nowhere while he's trying to fix his, you know, his dish on his roof.
Yeah.
He fucking falls off. And then Evie comes and is like, "Hey, you know, I need to talk to you. I think you're going to be, you know, I think we're going to have problems, right?"
Yeah.
He's like, "Did you ever notice, has it ever occurred to you why I'm lying here on the ground?"
Yeah.
You know, with skin in my hands. "No, you just don't even care. Don't even take notice about that." And then he gives her one of the fucking, you know, skin gloves or whatever you go, "Here, give this to a willing fan," or whatever he fucking says.
Yeah.
Just walks away. He's like, "I'll take care of it," right? "I don't care what you do, you know, go have coffee or enjoy your period or whatever." But, you know, he seems to be playing a misogynist, right?
Yeah.
But he's not really a misogynist. He just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
more along the lines of, I'm just going to go take care of it myself. And once you start listening to what I have to say, I'll start giving you respect. Again, it's the whole Perry Cox thing, the whole Scrubs thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, JD, you're going to listen to me. And if you don't fucking listen to me, I'm just going to start calling you girls' names, you know. But the one thing that I noticed in this, in the episode, is that John McGinley used to touch his nose.
Uh-huh.
You know, so he'd stand there with his arms crossed and then hit the side of his nose. He didn't do this in this episode. At least I didn't see.
Uh-huh.
That's a tribute to Robert Redford from The Sting, and it's basically his Carol Burnett thing.
Okay.
You know, everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Which tells me that when he's doing, the reason why he didn't do that is because he's playing a role where everything is not all right. Everything is not going okay. So when he starts to thumb his nose again, you can tell when things are going to be okay.
Yeah.
You okay? Is that me doing that or is it you?
I think it's me.
You think it's you? Oh, really? That fucking annoying, it's coming through the microphone, scratching thing? You think it's you?
I got a couple cords down here, and they're in between my toes.
Yeah, well, stop it.
And they're wiggle, wiggle. I love the trailer, the first teaser trailer for Stand Against Evil.
He's fucking standing at the door.
He's like, oh, shit.
And that's the thing is, I don't even think they, I haven't heard them say fuck yet, but they do say shit, and oh, man, lady, you look like a bag of assholes.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other stuff. So it's supposed to air Sunday, November 6th, but it doesn't air Sunday, November 6th. It played on Halloween. And you know, I came home and I'm like, fuck yeah, you know, every time a movie or TV show is on that I want to see, especially a TV show,
yeah,
I can come home from work and fucking pop that on and just relax. So this is it'll air, well, you're not gonna hear this until Friday, so this the show will air November 2nd. If you haven't seen it yet, I totally fucking recommend it. So that's about it.
I agree. It's interesting. John C. McGinley carries it.
Yeah.
Carries it very well. It's like you said, it's very Ash versus Evil Dead-ish.
Yeah. And my only problem with the whole, and I'm sorry it was kind of a weird review thing, but I was trying to get my mind wrapped around how to do it. My problem with this TV show is the CGI use of blood and some effects.
Mm.
Just follow what they did on Ash versus Evil Dead. Don't be afraid to pump fucking blood everywhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, they use the leaf blowers.
Uh-huh.
They will literally pump blood through this fake blood through leaf blowers and blast people with them.
Yeah.
You know, if you've seen any of the behind the scenes stuff of Ash versus Evil Dead. But I'm glad that someone else is doing something like this, because they're not making fun of Evil Dead. They are incorporating Evil Dead into their life, into these movies.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene where McGinley walks into an old graveyard, and there's just sticks from where all these dead things are, these people.
Yeah.
And one of the sticks is a Blair Witch stick, a Blair Witch cross or whatever. But the other one is a cross shaped and designed very much like Evil Dead, the Evil Dead cross where he buried his sister, Cheryl. Yeah. And it's designed like that on purpose, because it's sitting at the same angle. There's fog rolling across it, and if you look at it, it's in one scene, and it's in the upper right hand corner where it's actually all by itself, and it's in, like, I don't know if it's grass or whatever it's stuck in the ground, you know, grass and crap and whatever else, but it's set up to look like the same scene from Evil Dead, where off in the distance you can see the cabin.
Yeah.
So you see trees and whatever else. And that's done on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They did that on purpose because that shot is, they have the sheriff, they have Evie centered where she's tied to a stake, and then everything else is around it. And in some cases, they won't do things like that. Some directors will go for the weird angle or a side angle or a shot from behind where you see McGinley approach,
yeah,
instead of, you know, seeing McGinley stand there with her straight on in the middle of the screen. And I thought that was a really good scene setup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's near the end of the episode where he fucking, you know, beats the shit out of the fucking witch with a pipe.
Yeah.
And he has all these weird, what's the word I'm looking for? Eccentricities? Yes, thank you. I can't say the word. Eccentricities. He has these weird eccentricities. Like, you know, I need salt. You know, they're reading passages and you need salt, yeah. You know, to banish one of these creatures. And he pulls out a bag of salt. He's like, oh, what? You don't steal condiments from fucking, you know, restaurants?
Yeah. Who the fuck are you to judge me?
Yeah. That's pretty much what he said. And, you know, I'm assuming he's just going to whip out whatever is convenient at the time from his pants. Oh, what? You don't have one of these? Always
like,
be prepared.
Like Batman's utility belt.
Exactly. It's his it's his back pocket. It's his rear utility pocket.
Like, you know, that one time he needed killer bee repellent.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, yeah.
Shark repellent.
Yeah.
So
with those wonderful fucking bumblebees
in
that episode. It wiggles.
Kind of like the bat from Dracula AD 1972.
Exactly. All right. So with movie news, I don't know if you wanted to talk about the whole, you know, Tim Miller thing moving on or what.
I don't even care.
But yeah, the only thing I saw that was maybe worth mentioning, and this is like more of a knock than anything, is a trailer for a movie coming out next year called Life. Debuted in the last day or two, with also the new trailer for XXX, you know, the Return of Xander Cage, which fucking I weird on that one because my excitement for that was, you know, I don't know what, 13 years ago I was, you know, was intrigued at them bringing, you know, Vin Diesel back as Xander Cage, but now it looks stupid. It looks like it just looks boring. I don't give a shit. I don't care that Samuel Jackson's in it. I don't give a shit. So anyway, fuck you, Xander Cage. But this movie, Life, the reason why I wanted to bring up this trailer is because as I was watching it, because I knew nothing about it, as I'm watching it, it's got the two main actors that are in are Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds. And the movie's about this six-man crew. They go to Mars and they find life form there. You know, it's new, young little life form, whatever it is. It's like, you know, like a microorganisms or whatever. And while it's being tested, while they're in space or in the spaceship, it seems to infect one of the scientists' suits or whatever and gets into him. And you can't tell what it's doing to him. You can't tell if it's just hurting him or if it's becoming a part of him, whatever, you know. And all of a sudden, now this conflict happens where there's a, you know, it's just like with the Alien, right? The first Alien, you know, Sigourney Weaver saying we have to quarantine and, you know, the fucking other people are like, no, fuck you and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, the trailer ends with Jake Gyllenhaal with this suspicious look on his face, locking someone in an airlock and blocking them from, you know, getting free or something like that. And the first thing that popped into my head after I saw this trailer was, does anyone not remember that there was a movie that came out 3 years ago called The Last Days on Mars? And I actually did a Netflix pick of the week for that one about, I don't know, 6 months to a year ago. And it is the same goddamn movie, except that one movie went, I think, a little more extreme, where it's a found footage movie and where they find life on Mars and it ends up becoming a fucking zombie movie in space. Okay, and that's what Life looks like. Life looks like the same goddamn movie, just with a bigger budget and Ryan Reynolds in it. So, I don't want to see it.
Okay.
And so, I saw the shitty trailer, and I'm using a comparison for you guys so that you know not to watch this fucking movie when it comes out, because I guarantee you it's going to suck. That's all I got.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right, and Johnny Depp is going to be switching franchises. He's going to be in the Fantastic Beasts sequel. And there's a rumor that he might be showing up for a cameo in the first one.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to mention that because besides the fact my cousin Sharon, she's a big fan of Johnny Depp. But the other thing was that I'm glad that Johnny Depp is doing something that's not Disney and it's not Mordecai, because I think that Johnny Depp needs to get as far away from Disney as possible. Just same thing with Tim Burton, man.
Why?
Because there's nothing new going on with them. It's just this huge money monster where they're making a lot of money, but the product that's coming out is just starting to stagnate, and it's time to move on. You know what I mean?
I don't.
So, whatever. I mean, look, have you even seen Alice Through the Looking Glass?
Nope.
That movie is fucking critically panned by everybody, and it made a third of the money that the last one made.
Okay.
So that means fans hated it and critics hated it. Hell, even Tim Burton didn't want to come back.
But it's not Johnny Depp's fault.
No, exactly. That's what I mean. He needs to get the fuck away from Disney.
Why?
Because he's made plenty of money with them.
So what?
What's your argument for Johnny Depp fucking staying with Disney?
To make money. Who gives a shit what fucking studio is with?
Okay, that's all you got?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Who gives a shit where he's at making movies? Big fucking deal. He needs to get away from Disney? Why? Because you think that...
Oh, I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything.
You're doing that con thing.
No, I'm not doing the con thing. What? It doesn't make any sense for you to say he needs to get the fuck away from Disney.
Because it's one thing if he hasn't made any money at all. Okay, sure. It's good to finally get the good big payday, right?
But
he's already gotten the big
who
payday.
Who gives a fuck about the money?
You did. You just said that. He's getting he's making a bunch of money there.
Yeah, but you're the one that says if he wasn't making any money. All I'm saying is for him to make money, it's not a big deal.
He's going to make money no matter where he goes.
It doesn't, but your whole point, what is your fucking point about him getting away from Disney?
My point is that everything he's doing with Disney feels like the same old thing now. And so it's good, as a Johnny Depp fan, it's good to see him go do something else away from the Disney emblem, you know, just do something else.
Because you think that he's going to be in another same Disney movie other than Pirates of the Caribbean?
Or Alice in Wonderland, or playing a pedophile cat in a fucking a musical. Yeah, exactly.
But those movies aren't his fault.
I don't blame him.
It sounds like you are.
No. I just want... Look, he's going to make royalties off this shit forever.
Yeah, but I don't care about that. That shit is... That means nothing.
I don't want to see Johnny Depp doing Disney stuff anymore. That's what I'm trying to say. I want to see him in something else. Like when he did Black Mass, That was a pleasant surprise.
Okay, but he was also in Mordecai.
And then that was shit.
Right.
And then he was in fucking Yoga Hosers, and that was shit. But I want to see him, but with him going to a completely different studio, Warner Brothers, who is doing Fantastic Beasts, I think that that's, you know, better. I'd like to see him do something completely different than what he's doing.
That's a much better thing to say than he should get away from Disney.
I was trying to get to that, but you were like, oh.
No, dude, you weren't trying to get to that. Your whole argument up until you just said that was he needs to get the fuck away from Disney.
Yeah.
Because the whole Disney Corporation and their mega structure and blah, 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 blah.
No, I didn't try to get into corporatism with it.
Yeah, you did.
No, I'm saying that what he was doing with Disney started to feel like the same thing, rehash. Okay. Just, you know what I mean? I was going to get to the point, but you...
No, you weren't getting to the point. Your whole point was...
What?
He needs to get away from Disney because of whatever your garbage idea was that you were thinking, but you couldn't fucking, you know, say it right. That's exactly what you were doing.
Are you done?
No, I'm not done.
Holy fuck.
My point with Johnny Depp is, and we can fucking look up what he's done and how many Disney films he's done, but he's done six Disney films.
Well, he's done five Pirates movies alone, so...
Eight.
He's done two Alice movies.
Okay, seven.
He did the musical one that we saw last year,
Into the Woods, which was good.
I don't know what else he's done. Okay.
But you're talking like the fucking... like his career is shit because, you know, he's had two... People are blaming him for some of the movies not working out. Like the sequel to Alice in Wonderland didn't work out, but it's fucking Johnny Depp's fault.
No, okay. Some people are idiots. I'm not some people when it comes to that. I don't blame Johnny Depp for the movie sucking.
Sounds like you're fucking blaming him.
No, Johnny Depp, fuck you. Johnny Depp is a very committed actor and he's great. I'm just tired of seeing him in the same shit. Let's see him do something else. That's what I'm saying.
He's the one that signs up for this shit.
I know.
It's his fault.
Okay, but it's not his fault if the movie sucks.
Is his fault that the movie sucks. No, if he's sucking in the movie.
If he puts 100% commitment to his character, then no, it's not his fault.
It is his fault. He signed on to a shitty movie that he knew was going to be shitty.
Because of the payday.
Well, fine, payday or not. He knew it was going to be shitty. He didn't take a big payday for Yoga Hosers.
No, I doubt he probably made anything on that.
So, but he's doing that for fun.
Or maybe four of the $5 million budget went to him.
Yeah, no. But my point being is, again, the whole money thing. Fine, you know, take it for the payday. But I can blame him for the shitty jobs he's done in the movies for the movies that he signed up for.
I can say Transcendence.
Yeah, exactly.
Transcendence sucked, but it wasn't Johnny Depp's fault the movie sucked.
Yeah, pretty much it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, he was shitty in that fucking movie.
Isn't that probably how they told him to be?
I don't care how they told him how to be. He was
That movie was poorly made and poorly written and poorly marketed.
Right. You don't think that Johnny Depp has his own writers come in and fuck around with the script?
Not when a Nolan is involved, no.
You'd be surprised.
All right, well.
Come on. You'll be surprised.
We'll say that for conspiracy
theories. I mean, fucking
theories.
Ben Affleck went into his Batman vs. Superman and rewrote most of Batman stuff.
All right.
So my point being is you can only throw blame so far. I blame Johnny Depp just for taking the shitty roles. He knew these movies weren't going to be that good. If the original director is generally not involved, the movie's probably going to suck.
Well, look, you never know how a movie's going to always be, how the turnout's going to be on it. Because, you know, foresight, right? Hindsight, 2020, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, no, let me give you an example. Silence of the Lambs, okay? When Jonathan Demme made fucking Silence of the Lambs, no one thought that it was going to be this juggernaut that it became. They just thought they had a good, decent murder mystery thing on their hands. That was it.
Okay.
And then when it became this huge fucking moneymaker and Oscar winner, they were like, holy shit.
Silence of the Lambs had good writing and good acting.
Yes.
So, yeah, you did. All these people that say, I didn't know, I didn't expect this, they're full of fucking bullshit. Every person that goes into whatever they're making has this idea in their mind that this is going to be the next big thing. Same thing with our podcast. When we started doing our podcast, I'm like, oh, we're going to be fucking huge and we're going to kick everybody's asses. And
we're going to take off like chicken and waffles.
Exactly. Where are we? 1,500 listens a month, which is fine. I'm not complaining. This is not a complaint about.
That's okay. I'll fucking complain. you stay content.
I'm humble about it because it's 1,500 listens a month and growing. But it's not, you know, there are fucking a million movie review podcasts out there, if there's one. And there are a handful that are the top. And I don't have the fucking money to promote the shit out of this. And if I did, I'd promote the shit out of this. But advertisers and companies that try to advertise want these fake inflated numbers where they see 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 100,000 listens a month.
Yeah.
When the average podcast gets 250.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't want to hear that. The average podcast gets 250 listens a month. There may be a little bit more, but still, 250 listens a month.
Yeah.
Average. Okay. So if you do one a week, you get 250 a month. If you do five a week, five times 250 is what?
1250.
Yeah. Still average. We're just above average. And then the average podcast, the person abandons it after seven episodes.
Yeah.
And who knows how many of those are fucking floating around out there. We have 200 plus.
Yeah, that's just 200 of the movie review.
Right.
That doesn't even include all the other shit that, you know, the attempts at other things we've tried.
Yeah, but we're not afraid to attempt, and we will revisit some of those later on.
Exactly.
The point with this one is that, you know, again, Johnny Depp, going back to the whole Johnny Depp thing, but it all ties in. Everybody that steps into doing something thinks they're going to be the best at it. They're greatest, it's going to be world renowned, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the truth is that 1%, 5%? We'll be generous and say 8.5%. 8.5% of everything ever made becomes huge.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the Silence of the Lambs thing, they knew that they had a fucking hit the moment they did that scene where Lecter was in the hallway. Well, not in the hallway, but he was in the cage.
Yeah.
And he fucking wears the dude's skin.
Mm.
They knew that they had a hit right then because it creeped the fuck out of everybody.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is going to be fucking massive.
Yeah.
So, but anybody that says otherwise is a lying turd. Oh, we weren't expecting. Yes, you were. Shut the fuck up. Because that's everybody's expectations. Anyways.
All right. So, that's all we got for this week because we're not talking about any other news. So, for Flicks of the Week brought to you by a couple of Average Joes, I am Joe Spiegel.
We are not brought to you by a couple of Average Joes.
Then who's bringing it?
Nobody. It's Flicks of the Week.
No one brought it.
It's on a couple of Average Joes fucking site. It's not brought to you by anything.
Hey, Mike. These are not Spirit Fingers. These are Spirit Fingers.
That's my spirit finger. It's not brought to you by fucking anything.
Oh, it's already been brought in.
No, it's not. I hate that term. I want to stab people.
It's like old cereal commercials.
Dude, I want to stab people in the fucking neck for saying brought in.
Brought in.
Yeah.
I know. That's why it's funny.
Oh, I have to go because someone's tooken my stuff. Really? Tooken? Yeah, tooken.
All right, well, let's take into the next episode.
Yeah, let's took into the next episode.
All right, so.
It's been brought in.
Peace out.
Brought. Sour brought in.
It brought. bratwurst.
Good show! Jolly good show! Jolly good show indeed!
Hakuna Matata, bitches!
Please share the podcast. The more people that listen, the better off we are. Thanks again.
For more great podcasts and my movie reviews, don't forget to visit www.acoupleofaverageshows.com.
This is the end. It's the end. Finito! The end, I tell you! We're all going to nibble the dust!
Or go fuck yourself.